In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you say Luther's prayer before meals? It's in the small catechism. You can see it now on page 327 in the Lutheran service book. And it begins by quoting the psalm that we prayed today, Psalm 145. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And then the little prayer, Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in these your gifts which we receive from your bountiful goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And at first, it looks like this prayer is only talking about food for the body. But notice the psalm says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Our desires include much more than for food, but also the things like are listed in the meaning of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. A devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And we desire even more. In a similar way, then, the reason for bringing that up, the sixth chapter of John's Gospel at first seems to only to be talking about food for the body. That was the concern of the crowd. But as we shall see, Jesus uses the feeding of the 5,000 and the metaphor of food in a much deeper way. And then it'll take two Sundays to do this. So this is Sermon A, and then there'll be Sermon B, because our readings from John 6 are cut exactly in half for our consideration and for a good reason. Jesus spoke to them like a sermon today. That is, it's always based on some biblical text. And so it is assumed that Jesus was preaching on the story of the manna from heaven in Exodus 16. That was what they had just experienced, in a way. And he may have had in mind Psalm 78, verse 24, that says, and he rained down from them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. And so the incident, the experience of God providing food in the Exodus, in the wilderness, is fundamental to their concern. God gave his people manna to eat. Jesus gave the crowd food from just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So the first issue then is to identify God and Jesus as the giver, the source from whom we expect all good things. The most important giving of God, of course, where does that word give show up? But in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We didn't go to heaven to try to get him, and he didn't come because of our prayers. He gave his only son in order that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There would be nothing to believe in had God not first given it. Salvation and deliverance from sin and death centers in the only Son of God. As in the giving of manna after the Exodus, we're to see a connection between Moses and Jesus, and between the word Moses delivered and that of Jesus, but in a deeper way. Moses delivered the Ten Commandments. He wrote the first five books of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is why I always announce it today, the reading from the second book of Moses, commonly called Exodus. The Torah, it was called, the law. He even spoke of the Lord raising up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him that you shall listen, he said in Deuteronomy 18. Jesus is that prophet like Moses, but he's more. For whereas Moses only gave the word that he had received from God, what do we read of Jesus? John even begins his gospel with these words, "In the beginning was the Word." And we usually think of the Word as a he or a she or an it, an it. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Moses received and delivered the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus calls the manna food that perishes, but the Word of God, the food that endures to eternal life. The most important sentence, then, in this first half of the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6 has to do with how we are to receive this gift of eternal life. It has to do with the Word of God. Of course, the crowd asks the typical question of everyone as people think a person is saved not by God's free grace, but by what they do, by good works of the law. They ask, okay, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And maybe they were thinking of the Ten Commandments and all the rules and regulations of the Old Testament as a way to salvation. But what did we read in John 3:16? God gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is because it is by faith that we are saved, that Jesus then turns the table, revealing that the work of God, they ask, what are the works? And he answers with, the work of God is not something we do. It's the work of God, something God himself does. This is the work of God, not your work, but that you believe in him whom he has sent. In other words, saving faith is the work of God through his word in the heart of the penitent believer. Faith is the work of God. It's the gift of God. It cannot be commanded. It can only be given. Given by God and therefore only received by repentance and faith. So, in our table prayer, we said the psalm speaks of more than food for the body, but for all the desires of the individual. So now Jesus returns to the issue of the manna, the bread from heaven, saying, my Father gives you not just bread, but now he calls it the true bread from heaven. And then he claims to be that bread who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That is to say that Jesus is even more than the Word of God, the Word made flesh to dwell among us. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So this is the first of the great seven I am statements of Jesus in John's gospel, identifying himself as the one true God who revealed himself to Moses by that name, I am. This transition to speak about himself as the bread of life, then, last sentence of today's gospel reading, is what sets us up for the deeper meaning of this chapter of who he is and how we are to receive him, what it means to believe in him. In the second part of this discourse, next Sunday, we will discover Eucharistic implications, how we are to see receiving him as he gives himself under the forms of bread and wine to give us eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.